welcome once again to Reform Media Review. I am once again traveling through my journey at Shepherd's Conference, and now I've brought in Banner of Truth. So we have John Rawlinson, who I'm going to, I probably already mispronounced his name, but that's okay because I'm an American. I can get away with that. And John, thank you for sitting with us and talking about some books. Welcome.
Oh, well, thank you. Good to be with you. You did a fine job on the name, by the way. It's not a problem. So it's John Rawlinson. And
So that's what I said.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Just sounds different depending on the accent.
Oh, that's probably true. Yeah.
Yeah. As you say, I'm from the Banner of Truth. I'm based in the UK in Edinburgh. I've been with the Trust now for nearly 19 years. So I'm starting to feel slightly old, I guess. But it's been a privilege to work for the Banner of Truth for that period of time. As you will be able to see, your listeners won't be able to see me, but I'm a little bit the other side of 50. But as a young person, benefited greatly from the work of the Trust, both in the youth conference that I used to attend when I was a young person, but also in the books as well. So the first Banner of Truth book I ever bought, I was aged about 12 or 13, I think. And it was volume one of Spurgeon's autobiography. And a year later, I bought volume two of Spurgeon's autobiography. So that was my first sort of Banner books that I read.
We had to find out how it ended.
How did it end?
So I had to buy volume two.
Oh, I see.
You couldn't have left you on a cliffhanger.
Well, I read them, and that's how it ended. But my father was a minister in England, and he, you know, had many Banner books in his library. In fact, if any of your listeners have the book You Must Read that we did a few years back, there's a little article at the back of that I contributed to the book. In there, I described some of my earliest memories, actually, of the Banner of Truth, which dates back into the 1960s, of sitting in my father's study on a chair as a young boy and seeing this little man, picture of a little man on the back of books on his library shelf, which, of course, was the Banner of Truth George Whitfield logo. At the time, it really didn't mean a great deal to me, but it was the point in time when we were publishing the works of Owen. And the works of him were not done all in one go. They were done bit by bit. And I can remember sitting in his study and counting up, you know, as a sort of, 5-6-year-old boy, counting up the numbers on the volumes. And every so often there'd be another number arrive and another little book with this man on the back of it. And and that's a logo which I came to love and appreciate and to benefit from the ministry of the Trust. And it's just been a tremendous privilege for the last sort of 19 years or so to be involved in the work.
Excellent. Well, I mean, I've loved Banner ever since I became Reformed. Definitely introduced here. You know, when you don't grow up Reformed, and then you come into it, not only are you hungry for good Reformed theology and books, but, you know, by God's grace, you know, I had people that had gone before that could say, "Here, read this," and "Here, read this."
Sure.
And so it really is excellent publishing company, and many people have benefited from the works that have come through there. Yeah. So what do you have to show us today? And everybody that's listening at home can see these.
I just brought along a number of books that are some of our more recent publications, just to sort of talk you through. And they also give you a bit of a flavor of the list that we have with Banner. So I've got some things which are three books here, which are Puritan paperbacks. I've got a book here, which is Sermons of John Calvin. So, you know, those are dead guys.
Yes.
But we don't just publish dead guys these days. So I have a little book here from Ian Hamilton, who's now a retired minister, but still very active in Scotland. And then Sinclair Ferguson's latest book, Some Pastors and Teachers. And then a little book here on the Psalms, the Psalms of Ascent, Marching to Zion. So I'll just run you through those.
Yeah,
so absolutely. It gives a bit of a flavor. There's three guys there who are very much alive and kicking, producing material, good material, and then some of what perhaps people maybe think of us or think of us as being the producers of old Puritan works of Calvin and so on.
Why don't you start with the Puritan paperbacks and give us...
There's three recent Puritan paperbacks that we've done. They're actually quite different from each other. The first one, I'll just bring to your attention, is a very small book, actually. It's an abridgment of John Owen. It's only about 95 pages or so in length. But it's entitled The Duties on Christian Fellowship.
What volume is that taken from then?
Yeah, the original text of it is out of volume 13.
Okay.
In the works.
So what you're saying is you have boiled down Owen to 95 pages. Oh, that's incredible. Well,
one
well
bit
done.
Of it. one bit of it. Oh. We've taken probably, what's it going to be, about 40 pages maybe of the original.
Okay.
And you might say we've actually expanded it because it's gone into,
you've expanded
it's gone into
Owen.
Like 90 pages.
Even better.
But the format is smaller than the original. That's why there's more pages and it's all been reset. It's been abridged as well. So it's been made a little bit easier to read than the original. And we've also added in some questions that the reader can then, you could either use them as discussion questions or they're just thinking points for you. The book itself is, so it's referred to as the Duties for Christian Fellowship and Manual for Church Members. And it really splits into two sections. And the first section deals with the relationship, really, between a congregation and their pastor.
Okay.
So it's got this wonderful sort of Puritan-y type sort of heading, the rules for walking in fellowship with respect to the pastor of the congregation, with explanations of the rules and motives for keeping them. Okay, so that's section one.
That's the Puritan. Yeah, it's a short title.
Yeah, it's a short title.
It's pretty good.
And then section two is then dealing with the relationship between believers in the church.
Okay.
So how do we relate to one another and how do we walk in fellowship with each other?
Mm-hmm. So this would be good for like a group. Group study,
it's
Wednesday night study or something like that.
Sure, yeah, we do actually have a little section right at the beginning of the book. There's just a couple of pages, suggestions for use of the book. We think originally when Owen wrote it, it was written for individual use rather than group use.
Okay,
I think when you read the book, you see that he is dealing with some very personal things when he's talking about. Godly living and self-examination. He talks about the duties we have for prayer and meditation and so on. So those things are in many ways very personal matters. And so I think it would be beneficial for individuals to read it on their own, but it could also lead to group discussion too.
Yeah, okay.
So yes, you could certainly use it as a group discussion. It's broken down into a number of rules. So you have sort of rule one, explanation one, and then questions for consideration and discussion once you've read those little sections.
Right.
They're quite short. They're fairly bullet pointish as well.
Yeah.
So it's not a lot of dense text, but it requires thought, meditation, and it's very challenging.
Excellent.
In a very small compass, you get something that's very challenging. It's a subject, I think, that in today's church is very needful. I think too often, you know, we go along to church and we don't really think we have any duties to our fellow members of the church. We perhaps don't even think about the duties that we have to our own ministers. So I think it's a very needful book, and it really brings home to us that as believers, we do have duties to ministers, and we have duties to our fellow believers in the church. So,
yeah, right. So that's excellent.
That's the first of them. Okay. The second one is a compilation of things, selections really, from John Flavel.
Okay.
I don't know whether your listeners will know much of Flavel, but Flavel was an interesting character, and in his preaching he was at times very pointed. For significant periods of his ministry, he was ministering in English South Coast port towns.
Oh, okay.
So quite often in his congregations he would have people who were seafarers. They were the sailors who were going to be going off on the ships.
So perhaps a bit rough.
Yes, you could say. And so if you look at some of Flavel's writings, you'll find, for instance, that he preaches on subjects such as drunkenness and lust and so on. And he's very pointed in his preaching. Mm. And that was the kind of congregation he was preaching to that needed that kind of message. I would suggest we probably all do, but you get my point.
No, absolutely.
But this is a selection from Flavel that covers just a variety of different topics. It's broken down into parts in the book. So part one is really looking at salvation and Christ. The argument really of that whole section is that salvation is in Christ. That's where we find our salvation. He talks, there's a sermon there where he deals with the cross. There's a sermon there where he's dealing with why, really effective, why did Christ come? It was love. It was the love of God. That's why Christ came to save man. And then the second part is perhaps a bit more applied in terms of our Christian living. So he's dealing there with trusting and belonging to Christ. So the structure, in a sense, is presenting Christ, then trusting Christ and belonging to Christ as a believer. You know, we're united to Christ. There's a whole sermon about being united to Christ.
Oh, that's really good.
And talks about, there's another sermon there where he's talking about the Trinity as well. So there's a very much a Trinitarian view of Christ and as believers. And then the third part of it is, again, very directed really to living the Christian life. So he talks about, there's a sermon on guarding your heart. So as believers, it's important we should guard our hearts. So one of his sermons on that subject has been selected for putting in. And then the final bit of the book really is looking at the church. So living in gospel unity and the authentic gospel ministry. So really dealing with aspects of the church. So it's a selection out of the works of Flavel. We've published the full works of Flavel for a number of years. There's six volumes in that. And this is a little selection that's thematically arranged out of those six volumes. That's a helpful little volume. So then the third volume we've got here is a recent Puritan paperback. I guess many of your listeners will be familiar with the Puritan paperback series.
I think everybody
I guess there's 50, must be getting on to 60 volumes now in the Puritan paperback series. And this one is a selection from the works of Thomas Manton, a selection that was made by Spurgeon, and it's entitled Flowers from a Puritan's Garden. So he's been extracting out of the works of Manton. There's 20 or 23 volumes, I think, in the works of Manton. And Spurgeon, as he read through that, was marking things as he was reading Manton. A lot of the works of Manton are sermons, and as Spurgeon was reading through, he was marking his copy up and highlighting things and picking things out. You know, this is an illustration that Manton was using in his sermon, and Spurgeon is highlighting it. So, that's a wonderful illustration. And then eventually what he did was he took his set of Manton and he pulled all these things out and put them into this little selection was entitled Flowers from the Puritan's Garden. So the subtitle is Illustrations and Meditations. And that's really what it is. It's a series of illustrations and then meditations on those illustrations.
Okay.
They're all fairly short, majority probably less than a page long, something like that. So it's not lengthy things. You could almost read it, I guess, as a daily sort of meditation if you wish to do that. Short little things, thought-provoking meditations and illustrations drawn out of the works of Thomas Manton.
Oh, great.
So that's three new Puritan paperbacks that have been published in the last few months.
Let's look at the Ferguson.
Okay. So, yeah, now this is a large book.
Nice thick proper hardback.
That's right. It's a hardback. It's 800 pages of book. And this is Sinclair Ferguson's latest piece of work. The title of it is Some Pastors and Teachers, subtitle Reflecting a Biblical Vision of What Every Minister is Called to Be. And it's a book that I suppose it's primarily designed for ministers.
Okay.
Sinclair, in his introduction, he described this as, you know, a gift from a minister to a minister. And I think it really is truly a gift from Sinclair. He covers some wonderful, wonderful stuff. Most of the material is material that's been drawn from other things he's done over the years. So they were perhaps an article maybe he wrote, or maybe an introduction to a book that he was asked to do. And he's collected these things together. And as he was going over them, he realized that they did actually fall into a nice sort of logical order, a lot of what he was selecting out. So it's grouped into sections in the book. And he's reworked some of it, tidied things up or expanded things a little bit here and there. And it's a wonderful compilation of very helpful material, thought-provoking material. And he starts off, for instance, looking at the lives of three men who, I think it's fair to say, have been extremely influential in Sinclair's life and ministry. So it's a section called Pastors and Teachers, Three Johns. So we could perhaps run a competition, so you can name the three Johns. But
there's a lot to choose from.
There's a lot to choose from, yeah. So these are John Calvin, John Owen, and John Murray. And he gives a sort of biographical overview of the three Johns. As I say, these are people, if you know Dr. Ferguson, you will know that he has been heavily influenced in his ministry by these three men. He recommends the works of John Murray almost everywhere he goes. As you will know, he's an expert on Calvin, and he knows the works of Calvin inside out. He's very familiar with Owen. He's been a lifelong student, really, of John Owen. In fact, I remember calling him on one occasion to ask him about a passage in the works of Owen that I knew was there, and I was looking for, and I couldn't quite find. And I called him up and said, "Sinclair, you know this bit here that Owen's talking about this? Where can you just help me out? Even just point me in the right volume if you can." And he was like, "Oh yeah, that's volume 12, about page 250 or something." And it wasn't really any great surprise when I looked it up. He was pretty much spot on. So he's a man who knows his Owen.
That's good.
And so these are three men who he's very much indebted to in his own ministry. And so he starts off with that. He then goes on a bit more detail on Calvin, talks about Calvin, the pastor teacher. And then he moves on from that to the Puritans, pastors and teachers, the Puritan era. Most of that is actually focused on Owen, but he does touch on other things. So he talks about Flavel and the mystery of providence. Mm-hmm. Again, a very influential Puritan work. Which we actually have as a Puritan paper. But then he moves on from that, and he talks about the pastor of teaching, talks about scripture, how's the Bible look at itself, what does scripture teach about itself? He talks about what's biblical theology. I guess most people will know of Sinclair perhaps as a systematic theologian, but there's a little section here where he talks about biblical theology. He's got things on sanctification. He's got things on a reformed lifestyle. How does theology work itself out into our lifestyle? And then he goes on, and the fifth section of his book is then on the pastor and preaching. And he deals with, you know, how should we preach? He's got sections, for instance, on preaching to the heart. How as a preacher do you preach to the congregation? Do you preach to the heart? He's got a section on how do you preach the atonement. It's been a matter of discussion in recent years and contention, the whole question of the atonement.
Sure.
And there's a section here on how you preach the atonement. So very helpful. You can dip in and dip out of the book. I think it's probably true to say that there's no two chapters where if you read one of them, you should have read the other one first to make sense of this one.
Right, okay.
So it's the kind of thing...
Very self-contained
chapters, yeah. So you can dip into it, leave it for a week and come back and go to another part of the book and read a different bit, and you'll lose nothing. And you'll get these little sort of gems of information, of teaching, of history, of wisdom. Then the very last little bit is the epilogue that he does is on the doxology. So the whole thing, in a sense, is surrounded by the doxology.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be a very helpful book for any pastor. I would hope that students and people perhaps who are at seminary, think of going into the ministry, I would hope this is the sort of book they would pick up and read as well. Because in many ways, if you take the overall picture of it, this is Sinclair saying, this is what a pastor should be. This is what a minister of the Church of God should be. This is how we should be teaching. This is how we should be pastoring. This is how we address some of the difficult things in our teaching and preaching. Mm-hmm. This is how we address God's people. This is how we should look after ourselves as well as we seek to be ministers in the gospel.
Having read other volumes of Sinclair Ferguson, I mean, anything written by Sinclair is worth reading. It's worth buying and reading.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think... he's uncommonly capable as a writer. that there's not very many writers, I think, who can write the range of material that he does. So, you know, you can pick up one of his children's books, and this is a children's author. On the other hand, you can pick up one of his perhaps more academic books, and you know, you pick up his work on the Holy Spirit, and you read the first few paragraphs of that, and you're like, whoa, you know, how's this guy the same guy that wrote that kid's book? But then you pick up things like the book he did for us a couple of years ago now, From the Mouth of God, looking at the whole doctrine of Scripture and how you read and apply, and you know, why do we trust Scripture, and so on. And it's really pitched at a person in the pew. And he just seems to have an ability to write across a range that is quite unusual, I think.
No, it is unusual.
And so I think
you're right. A lot of talent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just very helpful. And I think this some pastor teaches, I think it will do very well. It's the sort of thing that, you know, every preacher should have. I mean, he says in here, you can't be a preacher without being a theologian. But you can't be much of a theologian unless you are at heart a pastor.
That's good.
It's great.
Well, let's look at the next one.
Okay.
And this is by a new author, is it? The new author of John Calvin? Is that
yes, a very
from France.
John Calvin, yeah. Jean. Again, you know, I guess it's the sort of thing Banner's been known for producing over the years.
Yeah.
These dead guys who...
They just keep writing.
That's right, they keep going. And though dead, they still speak today. So.
Yes.
This is Sermons of Calvin on 1 Timothy. So it's a new translation. A gentleman called Robert White down in Australia has produced this. He's done a number of other translations for us. So over the last few years, we've done a number of Calvin sermons. So this is a brand new translation of Calvin's Sermons on 1 Timothy. It's not a small book. It's a fairly lengthy book. But again, because of the nature of the book, I don't know if you've ever read much of Calvin's sermons, but they are fairly self-contained. Again, it's the sort of thing, you know, read a chapter and don't burst onto the next chapter. You know, read a chapter, think about what he's saying and meditate on what he's saying and really benefit from what's being said there. I think sometimes people are... a little bit surprised maybe when they come to the sermons of Calvin, because most people are probably familiar with the commentaries. That the sermons are quite different to the commentaries. I always think they're far more lively, far more alive. And I think Robert White does a good job of translating them as well. You can almost hear these being preached.
And that's the thing. Calvin at heart is a pastor.
Yes.
And when he preaches... He's not trying to preach over anyone's head. He wants them to understand the truth of the Word of God in language they can understand, in a way they can understand. That comes through in his sermons.
I think so, very much so. And they're lively, and at times they're very pointed in application and so on. And so they're very different to the commentaries. The commentaries have their place and are helpful, but the sermons are a very different kettle of fish, as we say in the UK. I'd recommend that if you've never read any of Calvin's sermons, we do a number of Calvin's sermons. We do some of the sermons on Genesis and Acts, and 1 Samuel and Ephesians. Ephesians is a good place to start, I think. Some of the material in the sermons on Ephesians is really excellent material. And then we've got sermons on Titus and now this latest one on 1 Timothy. If you're just familiar with Calvin's commentaries, then I would say, get one of them.
Yeah.
Of the sermon series and have a read of it. And I think you'll enjoy it and be blessed by it.
If you're a pastor out there and you're preaching through a book, this is something Calvin. Don't overlook Calvin. I think sometimes he is, because he's Calvin. And some people, don't want to appear to only be ever talking about or quoting Calvin, but he's so good, we shouldn't neglect him.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Well, excellent. That's great. Check out that series.
They're a good devotional read too. Actually, as I say, you know, you can read a sermon at a time. They're not that long. Each chapter is not hugely long. You could read it in a sitting fairly easily. What are you talking about? 16 pages or so, 15, 16 pages. Not too much to read in one sitting, and then.
No, that's a good devotional time.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, we've got two more books. What do we got here?
Yeah. This little paperback here is written by a gentleman, Ian Hamilton. He wrote a previous book, which is sort of almost a companion volume in a sense, called The Faith-Shaped Life.
Okay.
This one is called The Gospel-Shaped Life.
Okay.
It's a book for the man in the pew. It's the sort of thing you could give to a young believer just as easily as you could give it to somebody who's been in the faith for many years, mm-hmm. and they would find it helpful. I personally have said to many people with this and his previous one, read it in a devotional way. The chapters are very short. They're very, very much self-contained. There is a level of logical progression through it, but they are, each chapter is its own entity. Mm-hmm. And they are very devotional. I think you can helpfully read them a chapter a day as you went through. If you did that, there's 43 chapters in this one. So it's going to take you a month and a bit, say, to read through the book. He covers quite a lot of different ground. He talks about the gospel, the obedience of faith in the gospel. What does it mean? What a gospel works. And he's got a chapter on what a gospel works. He's got a chapter here about preaching the gospel, how is the gospel preached. He's got a chapter here on, the sweetness of God. What is the marrow of the gospel, the sweetness of God, and the love of God in the gospel? So there's some of it that's quite theological in terms of what he's dealing with, and there's some of it that's just beautiful devotional material. So it's quite a mixture, but a helpful little book that's really focusing our attention to what the gospel is and what the gospel means to us in the way that we live. And hence the title, The Gospel-Shaped Life. His argument really is that our lives as Christians should be shaped by the gospel.
Right.
And if our lives as Christians aren't shaped by the gospel, there's something wrong.
Yeah, no, that's so great.
It's only a fairly small book, I'd say, 43 chapters. So you read one a day and they're, page and a half long.
Right.
You can run through that in a month.
You can read a couple extras and then you're done in a month, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. Well, one more book here.
One more book here. This is a small hardback book by a gentleman called Rhett Dodson. Now, he did another book for us two or three years ago, I suppose now, which was a commentary on Joshua, and was it's a helpful book that he did, and this is a new piece of work that he's done for us, and it's entitled "Marching to Zion: Ancient Psalms for Modern Pilgrims." And it's a series, it started off as a series of addresses on the Psalms of Ascent, which is the Psalms 123 to 134, in the Book of Psalms. And he really just goes through each of those Psalms, and it's sort of meditations and thoughts on those Psalms, fighting the good fight, God's victory over evil, seeking God's presence, experiencing God's presence. Those are the sorts of subjects that he deals with in here. It's a nicely produced little book, actually, as well. It's sort of thing you could readily give as a gift to somebody.
Yeah.
And it's helpful, it's devotional, there's good application to us. There's little bits of history woven in there, so there's looking at Psalm 119, you get a little bit of a story about Nicholas Ridley and Latimer, who if your listeners, I'm sure, will be familiar with Ridley.
That's good.
Ridley and Latimer.
They
were two people, yeah, that's right, who were martyrs, I'm sure people will know. So you get a bit of history, church history wrapped in with it as well. It's a nice little volume.
Yeah. Very devotional.
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
So
that's a flavor of what we've been doing recently.
Well, that's excellent. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Pleasure.
Thank you for letting us know what's going on with Banner.
Yeah, it was good to speak to you.
Thank you very much
for having me.
Thanks.